This episode of Current Geek is brought to you by Stay Roasted, the ultimate fresh roasted coffee subscription. Get your first bag of coffee for free. You only need to pay shipping when you visit stayroasted.com/geek. That's stayroasted.com/geek today.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek. This is the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks in the world, and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson with Tom Merritt.
That was the most difficult piece of audio engineering I've ever done right there. I sneezed right before I'm supposed to bang the gavel.
Really?
Which I mean, supposed to. We can bang the gavel whenever we want.
Yeah, but, that's weird.
Yeah. It took me back to my old drum days from high school, trying to time things.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Stop this train. You did drums in high school?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this. I feel like this is something I should have known. No, this is cool.
In fact, you goaded me into playing your drum set one time in your basement.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that was you. We were doing Rock Band or something.
From your brain. Yeah, I guess so.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be back in Tom's presence, but we wouldn't be doing a Current Geek if we didn't have guests. And boy, do we. Let's start with Olivia Dunkley. She plays Sandra West in the Sandra West Diaries, a web series that is super rad and everybody should check out. Olivia, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Nice to have you on. We love having actresses on, and I don't know why. I feel like you guys have a perspective on the world of Hollywood that we don't always get from just nerds that we have on the show. So I really appreciate
it's the drama. You guys really are secretly addicted to drama that you don't know.
We just didn't know.
We actresses, we bring that. We bring that to the table.
Okay. No, Olivia.
Oh, see? Got it.
Tom, that was very dramatic what you just did.
Thank you.
That was.
Yeah, really good. Also with us, Steve, I'm going to say it right, Ricky Berg. It's a cool name. It looks German. Steve, welcome to the show. How's it going?
It is Dutch German. Well, that's probably not at all how natives would pronounce it.
Yeah.
So go figure.
Hey, listen, when in Rome, right? Or however the saying goes, you got to do what you got to do. I'm happy to have you both here. We're going to have a big show. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about some rad stuff. And it all starts, Tom, as you know, with the headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
What nerdy things happened this week, Tom?
Well, did someone say actors and drama and nerdy things? Carrie Fisher told People magazine that she and Harrison Ford, in fact, did have a 3-month affair while filming Star Wars in 1976. Ford was 33 at the time and also married with 2 kids. Fisher was 19 at the time. Fisher told Ford she would admit to the affair publicly in advance of the publication of her memoir, The Princess Diarist, which pulls from journals she kept while filming the Star Wars movies.
So she claims that he never wrote back to let her know anything, to just say whether it was okay or if he cared at all or
how
whatever.
Convenient.
Yeah, how convenient. I feel like I knew this in my heart. Like from when I was a kid, I just had this feeling that...
Well, there have been tons of rumors about it. And
sure,
she's all but confirmed it in other interviews where she sort of, you know, wink and a nod at it.
Yeah.
So it's not a shocker, I guess.
No.
But wait, because Harrison's married to somebody new now, right?
Yep. Right. He's married to Calista Flockhart now. That is not who he was married to back
so
then.
So he already ruined the first one, so now it's fine for her to say anyway.
I guess so. From that perspective, sure, yeah.
I don't know if you guys noticed, though. I don't know if you noticed she waited, and everyone commenting on it, they all waited until episode 7 was out and done, and a certain character, and we can spoil. I mean, Star Wars is spoilable now, right, Tom? We don't have to keep
hiding. If you haven't seen The Force Awakens, stop the show right now.
I guess. Yeah, that'd be crazy.
Yeah, and turn it off.
So since he no longer exists in the future world of Star Wars, it's a good time to do it because it's not going to interfere with everybody worrying about the story or the movie or it coming out and doing well and all that stuff. It's not a distraction. So now was maybe the time to do it, but who knew?
But do you think that it would have mattered? Because I don't think that this, I mean, he was so young when it happened. Are we going to still hold it against him?
Nah.
Well, and if anything, it would have stoked people's interest even more to be like, oh, let's see him on screen together now, you know, years later.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad it's not Mark Hamill that we're talking about, though? Because that brother-sister thing would have freaked me out. It already did when, you know, they kissed in that first one. George Lucas can explain it all away. No, second one, I'm sorry. No, first and second one. Sorry. We had brother-sister kisses in two movies, and they didn't clear what that up for the third Beru? One.
Oh, what about Alec Guinness?
I don't like thinking about it. I don't like thinking about it, Tom. There's a lot of weird stuff in Star Wars if you really think about
it. A lot of people in Star Wars.
I guess I'm just saying it's fine. You know, that was a long time ago. There was a sweetness to them together in the movie recently. They clearly have chemistry beyond what we thought was just on camera. Mm-hmm. So there you go. It's all in the past. Callista Flockhart.
I wonder if that
job.
Informed yes, the writing. Yeah. It's all in the past. Exactly.
Sure.
I do wonder if that informed the writing, because one guesses that people associated with the production knew this was the case, even though it hadn't been publicly confirmed. And Larry Kasdan might have actually drawn from their actual relationship, you know, to write how they would meet again 30 mm-hmm. years later.
Yeah. Aren't you glad that line in Empire Strikes Back before he got put into the cryogenic freeze wasn't, "We're having an affair. I know." You're glad it wasn't that? That would have been, weird.
I'm having it with you. You didn't need to tell me that. All right. Let's move on to something that is almost the direct opposite of that story. Apple released a book, an actual physical book of photographs called Designed by Apple in California. It shows 450 photos of Apple products shot by a good photographer, Andrew Zuckerman. He did the Creatures book, if you're familiar with that. This Apple book is available in two sizes, $199 and $299, at Apple stores and online. And you can read it in any light. You don't have to buy the sun from Apple. You know, it's got incredible battery life, but it's just filled with marketing shots of Apple products, essentially.
Okay, so here's
there is no reading involved. You're just looking at pictures,
right?
No,
and
you're paying $200 for a book to look at pictures of things that you can't afford.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad Olivia brought this up, because this is my main beef with this. And I am a consumer, generally speaking, of certain Apple products. I like some of their stuff, but this book was like behind the scenes Wozniak and Jobs in the garage photos, and then descriptions of what was happening that day and when the Apple One was released, and it was more than just the last 20 years. It was more the entire history of the company, and there was some anecdotal stuff in there that was interesting and stuff we didn't know yet from other biographies and things. It's not that. It's just photos of products, and that's fine, I guess, but it's not $299 fine. I think it's
I think
it's really weird. Really,
it's a glorified catalog, right?
Kinda.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
All right. If I had to come up with a defense of this,
Please do.
The same defense of people who are like, "Why do you have a photo book of pictures of people from movies?"
Because
why do you have a Marvel photo book of comic books when you can just buy the comic books? There are some people who are huge Apple fans. They just love the design of Apple. And so this is the same thing for them. It's like just looking over the design and seeing how great these photos, you know, they got a good photographer to do this. So they're beautiful photographs.
It's a fair point.
It doesn't need to be $200.
Right. I agree,
Apple's all about the profit margins, but this is ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Tom makes a decent point. And
I agree.
And there's no other company who could probably get away with this than Apple because of who they are and what they do. I think it's the only one where it makes any sense. All I'm saying is there are plenty of big format books that are, like you said, photos of whatever, and they are $150 to $200, and people buy those for their coffee tables. The difference is usually those, like the Hollywood ones, will have some background. Here's George and Gracie talking behind stage at some play in New York, or here's a director that was famous. Here's Ford directing a Western, and it was important because it was 105 degrees that day and someone almost died, and like you're always getting this extra stuff, and maybe the internet's
capturing like moments in time, like photographs. Those types of photographs, in my opinion, are capturing moments in time, which I would find more interesting than a catalog, I guess. Like Steve said, I think it is maybe a glorified catalog, but I can see also how that it might appeal to certain people who love their tech.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think at some point everyone somewhere has admired something Apple's designed, but do I need to look at a 1997 reintroduced iMac with the blue color in the back and stuff? Maybe.
There are descriptions. Yeah. There are captions and descriptions of the specs and how the design was made and why it was made. So it's not just the photos.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Well, that's better.
I'm enjoying this bit of reversal for you and I, because usually I would be the one totally defending some weird Apple idea. And
oh, you yeah, would be you haven't figured this out. I just always take the opposite side of yours.
And now it's making sense. It's all coming around to me now. I get it. Okay.
Let's move into space.
Please.
For our internet, SpaceX has filed documents with the United States FCC asking for permission to deploy 4,425 satellites to create a global high-speed internet network that would be available pretty much anywhere on the surface of the Earth. Plan calls for an initial deployment of 800 satellites, which would then increase slowly over the years. OneWeb is another project that is doing the same thing, if you haven't heard about it. It's backed by Airbus, Virgin, Qualcomm, and Boeing, and is planning a similar system with the aim of having satellites in orbit by 2020. Mm. So within the next 5 years, we could have a couple of different companies beaming us internet, high-speed internet from space.
I have a conspiracy. You want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. This is probably not true at all, but here it is, and then you guys can tell me what you think. Google just paused, for reasons they haven't totally disclosed other than maybe cost or something, but they've paused rollout of their Google Fiber program across the nation. Mm-hmm. Places where it was currently in, they're continuing whatever their plan was, but anywhere else where they had previously announced plans, they have put all that on hold, and any new announcements of any new cities have been put on hold. Is it possible that Google got wind that their good buddy Elon Musk over there and his SpaceX pals.
Hold on. Can I pause your conspiracy theory?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll throw you a red meat fact here. All absolute right. fact. Google is an investor in SpaceX because of this project.
Go ahead. So then maybe it's just confirmed and it's not a conspiracy theory, that maybe what's happened is in the meantime, they were trying to get all this dark fiber activated and get all that stuff going. But then they went, oh, well, this other thing's cooler now. We figured out a way to make satellite internet super fast, so forget it. We'll invest in that and spend our time on that. Possible?
Possible. I actually think what's going on with Google Fiber is they are running into so much red tape that they're investigating alternate ways of rolling it out. One of those is wireless backhaul, where you use a microwave transmission, and they bought a company that does this. You really would target apartments and condos for that sort of rollout. So I think they're just reevaluating. Mm. I don't think it has to do with this, but that said, I don't think it's entirely a conspiracy theory, because Google has invested in this, and I'm sure they're looking at it as, hey, you know, down the road, if this pans out, that could be another thing we're involved in.
Yeah, it also just eliminates all that infrastructure. So, I mean, if it comes to, say, Olivia's area and she's very interested in gigabit speed internet or for whatever reason,
Which I really would be, because there are certain limitations in the areas. It's still crazy to me. You can only have one company give you internet, mm-hmm. and then they can charge you whatever they want to. So I'm kind of feel like Google's just smart. You know, you might as well use, if satellites are the future and that's how people are going to be doing it, then Google should be on board with that.
How do you guys feel about the idea of land-based, you know, fiber optic networks versus stuff that's just floating in the air? Does it give you any pause? I'm not trying to create another conspiracy theory here. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't go all NSA conspiracy theory, but I wonder just the technical limitations of, there's only so much electromagnetic spectrum and so much bandwidth to go around.
Yeah.
You know, at least with fiber, we don't have to worry about that.
That's true.
The big bottleneck is the upload, right? I mean, Elon Musk, when he was talking about this in the past, has said, you have no limit on the speed of light in a vacuum. So if we get these satellites up 750 miles, it'll be faster than fiber for part of the journey. But of course, then it hits the atmosphere, and uploading, sending it back up to the satellite, is always the problem. What OneWeb wants to do is have a network of base stations that communicate with the satellites to solve that upload problem. I haven't seen what SpaceX would do.
Mm. Chatroom
and the other thing that gets me about the story is the just sheer audacity of the number of satellites. I mean, how many hundreds of launches is it going to take to get all of those up there?
Well, have you guys seen WALL-E and when that little ship has to bust through like that huge thick blanket of satellite debris in the sky? I'm telling you, man, I don't know why I'm going all conspiracy.
I mean, that's why SpaceX can do 4,000, right? Because they own the rockets.
Yeah,
they're going to be launching the rockets anyway for other purposes. Yeah. They could throw satellites.
If anyone can do it, they can.
Yeah,
but
well, they have the money.
It's crazy.
They have the wherewithal. Why not? All I'm saying is, we don't want to be one day. Okay, one more conspiracy. one day we're going to have just satellites falling from the sky and smashing your car and like putting a hole in your house and stuff, Tom.
You know, I don't think that is the worry so much as like trying to get into space once you have all of these satellites and debris. Like, it's already a problem of tracking all the little pieces of old space junk. And the more we send up there, the more acute that problem gets. Like, we have to deal with that.
Yep.
It's getting a little crowded.
Yeah. That's true.
True.
Down here on Earth, the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has introduced a rule that electric and hybrid cars must make an audible noise when the car operates at less than 19 miles per hour. The rule is actually set at 30 kilometers per hour. But if you're going less than 20, you got to make a noise. That includes stopped in idle. If you're not parked, the car has to make this noise. Car makers must have half of all new cars in compliance by September 1st, 2018. And then every new vehicle they sell after September 1st, 2019 must have this capability. Europe has a similar thing. Car makers have until July 1st, 2019 there to fit all their new models of hybrid and pure electric vehicles with an acoustic vehicle alerting system. But essentially saying, hey, for visually impaired people, for people just not paying attention, if people walking around in parking lots, the noise needs to be there so they know the car is coming up behind them or in front of them.
It's such a historic oddity because we spent so much time in the early days of automotive engineering and certainly maybe right up to the 70s trying to control too much noise, keep those mufflers on. Right? And yeah, there's limits, sound limits. And now we're saying, sorry, you've all gone a little too quiet. We need to crank it up a bit. But I'd love to go around the table here and ask what you think the sound should be. Some have said, well, just make it sound like an engine. Others have said, make it like a beep. Tom had a great story during the week on Wednesday when we did the Daily Tech News Show. We talked about white noise as a proposed option because of some of its benefits. But Olivia, what do you want to hear when you're sort of not paying attention?
Well, obviously the problem, I mean, this is really fascinating to me because I'm like, what's happening? Are people like walking out in front of cars? Like they don't hear it coming, obviously. And so then they're like not paying attention. So for me, I would be like, it needs to sound like a car.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's a cue that people are responding to probably even subconsciously. Like they're aware there's a car coming because they can hear it even before they see it or, you know, become aware of its presence. So
that may be the most sensible. I've heard tons of people react to that. And that is the most sensible suggestion. No one else has suggested that I've heard of.
Yeah. You don't hear people saying, just make it sound like a motor. But
like,
how about a car?
Just sound like a car so that people are automatically having that subconscious reaction like, okay, there's a car coming, because that's what we know from the time we can hear, from the time we're born. We're used to, this is a car. Yeah. This is what a car sounds like. Yeah. So,
and in some of those muscle cars, I want to say they're actually piping engine noise into the cabin to make it sound, you know, beefier and faster. So how much farther is it just pipe it to the area around?
Right. Yeah, it shouldn't be hard, and making the artificial sounds no big deal. What concerns me most about this is, Tom, you read that if you're going less than 19 miles per hour or 30 kilometers per hour, that's when it needs to make the noise. I want it to make the noise when they're doing 60 or 70. I want to hear coming.
Then tire noise is enough. That's why they set it at that point. No. Is like above that level, you actually hear the tires rolling on the pavement.
Okay. All right. That'll work then. I don't know if you guys have been around like a Tesla as it's backing out on gravel or something. It's freaky. Because all you hear is the gravel, and as if nothing else is happening, just gravel's moving. It's a very odd thing. Normally you have, you know, a normal car would have some sort of engine noise. So I am with Olivia on this. Absolutely car noise. Steven, what would you do? Do you think car noise is enough? Engine noise?
Some car noise or white noise. I think you really have to do it. I recently, there was a time where I couldn't drive, so I had to do the pedestrian thing. And it freaked me out a few times. I'm at the corner waiting to cross a busy street, and all of a sudden there's this car that magically appeared out of nowhere because I didn't hear it.
It seems so dangerous to me.
Yeah.
There's a white noise that has been developed. We talked about this quite a bit on Daily Tech News Show as a way to be better than the beeping noise because it's not as disturbing. It doesn't bounce off of walls, so you can tell where it's coming from easier. And let's see if this plays.
Yeah,
actually.
Play that if you have it. You have it? Oh, yeah, there you go. See, it's freaky. I don't know if I want to hear that.
Weird.
It sounds like an alien coming.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of white noise.
Yeah.
I just think you wouldn't relate to that. Like, it's an actual car. Like, you might look around and be like, what is that? But you wouldn't be relating
at least
to it.
You'd
like,
stop.
Okay, there's a car coming.
What is, yes, what is that's that? True.
What is that raspy breathing sound behind me? Yeah.
What? Yes.
Darth car.
That's really funny. I hadn't really thought of that. I mean, I kind of, when I first heard the white noise thing, the idea that it doesn't reverberate, which I didn't know, actually, you can't really get white noise to echo. And that does seem like a benefit, whereas a motor could echo or, you know, other sounds could echo. Yeah, yeah. But we ought to just do what we are used to. It's not it doesn't stall innovation. It doesn't make us any less cool. You just do what we've all grown up hearing, what our parents said to listen for before checking both ways, you know, live like.
There's
live
a
like
whole marketing aspect to this that I don't think anyone's considered. Mm. So you can buy like a 57 Chevy sound or a 68 Mustang sound.
Yeah. That's true.
Cause in my head I thought, oh, they'd have like a store for like ringtone beeps. And I didn't like that idea. Cause I don't want just annoying
beeps.
Well,
and visually impaired people said, well, I don't want it to play a song because I won't be able to tell it's a car.
Yeah.
I need something like, and this goes right to your point, Olivia. I want something that I can identify if I, oh, it's a vehicle. I need to step back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
I'm all in on this. Let's get some car noises. Let's have an app store where you can buy whatever cool car you want to hear. I want to hear a Ferrari from 78 or whatever. I'm in.
Or something from the future, all sci-fi.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Where we're going, we don't need roads and all that.
Sound of Firefly. Firefly engine. All right. Finish up with HBO programming president Casey Bloys telling The Wrap that they've talked at very high levels about doing a Game of Thrones prequel. Bloys said no one has put pen to paper, but he says they'd be crazy not to explore the idea of some sort of prequel or whatever you want to call it. Those are his words.
So we're thinking like Targaryen rule of Westeros, the days of dragons where they were plentiful and everywhere.
There's all the Dunk and Egg stories that George R. R. Martin has written that are prequel stories.
Sure. I could go for, I mean, look, we're in the middle of what? We're starting the seventh season this next year.
We got one more season after this. Only two more seasons.
More seasons. They're kind of broken up into halves anyway. So it's almost like one season split apart. A bit like Breaking Bad.
Season. Yeah.
Yeah. Breaking Bad did it too. We're all very quickly going, we don't know it yet, but we're all quickly getting to a place where we're all going to be missing this real bad or thinking about the inevitable end of it. And you can throw all the West worlds and all the million other things at us you want, but we're still going to be sad when that day happens. So if they turn right around and say, we've got ideas for either a side story or characters have never been talked about or created before or some sort of prequel. Prequel makes the most sense in terms of, even though we kind of know what happens, that show's not really about knowing what happens. It's more about the minutia of the characters and the politics and everything.
Yeah, no, it's exploring the backstory and finding out more of that lore.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, some of the more exciting bits of this last season were when they would go back, like Three-Eyed Crow would take them back and show you things that happened previously and start to get a little more meat on the bones of who was Ned Stark and what was his motivation and all that. So I would be all for this. Any thoughts from our panelists on the future of Game of Thrones or the past?
I mean, in some ways, you kind of have to think that they hadn't at least considered this when they decided that they were going to end it. You know, it's so successful.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that the president of Time Warner kept saying, the president of HBO kept saying, we haven't decided. And Benioff and Weiss would be like, no, seven seasons. That's it. And they got him to do eight by like what Scott's saying, basically making an extended seventh season and splitting it into two parts. But they are like, no, there's an end and we're going to hit that end. And I think HBO is like, yeah, but there's no end to the money if we can keep making shows. So they've been trying to figure out a way to do that.
Yeah. Because if it goes away, I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of people who sign up for HBO just for the time of year that Game of Thrones is on, and then they don't subscribe to the service later. I've decided to go all the time because I like it, but that's a common thing, especially with the web-based one, HBO Now. And so they have to be eyeing that going, ugh, that's like a death date in some ways. And listen, like Westworld's going to do great, but we've got a big chunk of time between it and its second season, which has been approved. So what else are you going to give us? Lots of other great content, sure, decent movie rotation, great, older shows you want to go back and revisit, but what we really want is more Game of Thrones, or what they want is more of that so that people say subscribe longer. It's not like we're talking about they need the ad money, or if they end the series, Coke's no longer interested in running commercials. They don't do that. It's commercial free. It's all paid by subscribers. So, I don't know. Olivia, you a fan? Do you like the show?
Honestly, I don't watch the show, but I do know that when I'm in love with a show, if they created something, like if it was ending and they created something from it, I would definitely watch it.
Yeah.
Because I'm devastated when my shows end.
Give me an example. What's something that left that you're still just like,
oh,
oh
my gosh, The Good Wife. The Good Wife ended and I'm devastated. But then you couldn't really do a spinoff.
Well, they are, though. They're doing a Good Wife spinoff on CBS All Access.
Are they?
And I don't know enough about the show to tell you what that entails, but it is a different character.
Ooh.
And that perspective.
See how intrigued I am? I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you're super stoked. She's going to get CBS All Access. Now, is it streaming? Is it streaming only, Tom? Is that all? It's not going to be broadcast on CBS, right?
No, it's just through the internet.
That's a real interesting play by them. And Star Trek and all that other stuff. So yeah, like telling me that one of my favorite shows of all time may have life past its normal run is exciting to me. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Imagine seven more seasons of any show that's not over now. It feels like so far in the future, but it's really not. Be here before you know it. Anyway, well done. Great news. And as always, our news in large part is brought to us by listeners. They check us out on our subreddit at currentgeek.reddit.com. Tom, who are some of the fine submitters this week?
Big thank you to Wayne Something. That's his name. That's what he wrote on subreddit. Yeah. I'm not forgetting his name. Yeah. Wayne Something.
Wayne Something.
Another Jay Martin, Gatekeeper, G8KPR, Captain Kipper, and Strike It Rich One. All of those and more submitting things at currentgeek.reddit.com. We appreciate that. And the folks who keep it clean, like Kyle, Daniel Gerke, and others. Tom Kirky, not Daniel, who keep it rolling. Thank you guys for setting it up. Yeah, Scotty Roland is the guy who keeps it rolling.
You guys are the best. That's true. So keep it rolling, rolling, rolling. We're going to take a second to talk to our guests about some of the things they're up to before we get to our favorite part of the show, the pop quiz. Let's start with Olivia. Olivia, you're working on a web series right now called Sandra West Diaries. Tell us more about it. Where can it be found? All that kind of good stuff.
Well, it can be found on primarily YouTube, but it's on a few other different sites. All the other internet. We're actually a spinoff from a previous web series that I was in. So the character was created on The Adventures of Super 7.
Oh.
And I was...
I know that. I know that show. I didn't know this was a spinoff of that.
Yes, this is a spinoff from The Adventures of Super 7. So I played Sandra West in The Adventures of Super 7. And we did 40 episodes. And we actually have a movie that we made from the episodes. So we have the first movie from season one that is being distributed all over. Actually, it'll soon be on Netflix, but it's on like Prime and Hulu and all the other, like it's currently being distributed. So Super 7 has done very well, but we had Super 7 kind of retire on us. Jerry Kokich, who played Super 7, he didn't retire. He was just like, okay, we've done 40 episodes. You know, like, let's see what we can do with that before we do any more. And I was in agreement with that. We were all like, okay, that's good. And then Scott Rhodes and I are good friends. He's the director and the creator of The Adventures of Super 7. And we were having lunch one day and he was like, you know, I've been toying with the idea of this spinoff series just for Sandra West. He says, you know, the fans really enjoyed her. And I was like, well, I loved playing her. And so he was like, well, let's just do a couple episodes. Like, let's just see how it goes. And he says, we're going to Kickstarter it. We're going to fund it this time. It's going to, you know, like that kind of thing. Anyway, it's gone really well. So we've decided we're going to do a full 10 episode first season.
Nice.
And see how that goes. But it's been very fun. I'm enjoying it immensely.
There are a bunch of stills of you online holding a silenced, P9 pistol.
Her favorite gun.
It's really awesome. People should check it out. Go search for it. It's easy. I just Googled it and it's all there.
Yeah. If you haven't guessed this, Super 7 was a superhero story. So how does the Sandra West story branch off of that?
So basically the whole thing, it's from the Get Smart, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., kind of that genre. So it's a goofy, fun, I say that we are super corny. The more corny we are, the more we like it. But it's a spy. It's a spy show. And Sandra is a rogue spy. She kind of works for whoever will pay her the most. She's kind of missing a moral compass. She's got all the skills, but she's kind of working for the highest bidder. She usually ends up doing the right thing, usually working for the good guys, which is them. Them are the good guys as opposed to they, who are the bad guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, she's just really fun. She kind of just... I does love, whatever she wants.
I love the posters, by the way. The promo posters are like way retro, like grindhouse 70s looking. Super, super cool. All right. Well, now
he's really familiar with that entire genre. He grew up with that. He loves that. So he's just kind of recreating that. And I get to be part of it. So
very cool. Well, do check it out, everybody. Go just do a simple search and you'll find it. Simple, easy.
Yeah. Start watching so you can see why she is facing off against someone in a Lucha Libre mask.
Indeed. I must know the answer to that. Steve, tell us what you've got going on these days, man.
I'm an audio engineer and podcast producer, so I'm behind the scenes of some of the stuff you probably listen to. Mm-hmm. And I used to do a show called Geek Cred where I did long-form interviews. In fact, I interviewed both of you way back when, and I'm looking at bringing that back.
That's why this is all ringing a bell. I meet so many people, but it's been freaking me out the entire episode. How do I know Steve? How do I know Steve? Now I remember. No, I loved that. And that's why you were already in my Skype. It's all coming together now. Anyway, I love that show. You should bring that back.
Yeah, people have been asking me over the years. So it's like, okay, I got to do this.
I'd forgotten about that. It was so good. Yeah, that was really good stuff. Where can people find more of your stuff?
Geekcred.net for that and steveRickyberg.com.
Nice.
Now, I know there's some folks that are awesome that you've worked with that you probably can't talk about just because of the nature of the projects or whatever. But is there anybody, because you've worked with some impressive folks.
Probably the biggest name that people might recognize in this community would be sci-fi horror author Scott Sigler.
Oh, yeah.
I do a lot of his audiobooks. So.
Oh, that's great. Now, we're big Sigler fans around here. Tom gets to see him at least a couple times a year when you guys go to those cons together. He's the man. We need to have him on here.
Yeah, I used to see him every year at Comic-Con because he's down in San Diego now. Yeah. But I haven't been hitting Comic-Con.
Yeah. He's great. We need to get him on this show in general. Well, it's good to have you, Steve. And if you bring that show back, I'd come back on. I bet Tom would, too.
Likewise. Yeah. Absolutely.
Glad to hear it.
Totally would. All right. Before we move on, got to have a quick conversation about Stay Roasted. All right. Look, you want good coffee in the morning or whenever you drink it. Doesn't have to be morning, I suppose. Whatever time of day you're used to doing that. And for most of us, top quality coffee isn't a luxury. It's a necessity. You don't want the junk. You want the good stuff. Exceptional coffee requires finding exceptional beans. And that's why I love Stay Roasted. Stay Roasted delivers 100% specialty grade coffee beans, hand selected to your taste and delivered fresh. It's simple. Just set some basic preferences on the site and let your roasters handle the rest. That's right, your roasters. Stay Roasted lets you pick from dozens of America's top craft coffee roasters for your personal roaster lineup. Your top roaster will match you with their finest beans and deliver them fresh. When it's refill time, your next roaster is queued and ready to roast. They have plans that start at only 60 cents per brew per cup, and there's no commitments. I talked to these guys for a long time about that. They don't want you to feel like you're trapped with some kind of crazy contract. There's no long-term commitments, and I think you're going to love it. Try it for yourself. Visit stayroasted.com/geek. That's G-E-E-K. stayroasted.com/geek to get your first bag of coffee for free. All you pay is the shipping. Shipping is all. It's like nothing. And that'll come straight to you. That's stayroasted.com/geek. They also have gift cards available, and Stay Roasted makes the perfect gift for any coffee lover this holiday season. So give that. I'm going to have to do that myself. I know some people. I know people. Go check them out. stayroasted.com/geek. All right, before we get to the pop quiz, real quick, a mention of one of the ways we help this show survive, and that is through our Crate Joy at frogpants.cratejoy.com. What is that? Well, you've heard of these little crates or boxes that come to you every month with a bunch of goodies in them. We're doing one of our own just for Current Geek. It's the only one in the entire Frog Pants network that Tom and I do for anything, really. It's great. It includes stickers and trinkets and cool stuff that you want, like chargers for your iPhone or other devices. Doesn't have to be iPhones. Tom's got some of it right there in front of him. He's holding some of it to the camera. We got, what else? Mouse mats sometimes, little books, written stuff, printed stuff, things from guests. Look at that. Prints, membership card, all these rad things. Exclusive, and you can only get it this way. So head on over to frogpants.cratejoy.com and join those who already know how great it is. Again, that is frogpants.cratejoy.com. All right, here's the quiz.
America scores and win.
All right. This is the pop quiz, where we take a moment with our guests and we test them in areas of their expertise. If they get answers correctly, you'll hear this sound. You hear, if they get them wrong, you'll hear this. And we'll add it all up at the end. Tom has a scoring system that I don't want to talk about. It's weird. It's freaking weird. But you'll do fine. I think everyone will do fine. Let's start with Olivia. Are you ready for your questions?
I'm ready.
All right, here's your topic. Hold on, where is yours? There you are. All right, your topic is General Hospital Trivia.
No. Wait, is that the show General Hospital, or do you mean just generally trivia about hospitals?
Oh, I see. Generalized hospital trivia? No, it is the show General Hospital.
Got it.
Now, Hammond, who booked you for the show, chose this topic. So it is he who you'll want to...
So I can beat him later.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. It is him you'll want to hate and rip apart. Okay. All right, so here's your first question. What year What year did General Hospital premiere?
Oh, I don't know.
And guesses are absolutely accepted if you're not sure.
1972.
You are incorrect. 1963. I don't think any of us existed yet.
So
no, I was not born yet.
Neither were we. I don't think anyone here was here. That's crazy.
Tenth of a point for being 9 years off.
So. Okay. All right.
Nicely done.
I like how he scores.
Yeah, that's how this is how Tom scores. Next question is General Hospital has some spinoffs. What was the first of these spinoff shows called?
Specific
Port Charles?
What'd you call it? What'd you
say? That's the only one I know.
Which one was it?
Port Charles from General Hospital.
Oh, that's a thing. No? That's an actual thing. But the first one, that is incorrect. The first one was called The Young Marrieds.
Oh.
I don't know what that is.
No idea.
Wait, rephrase the question, Scott.
Okay, here goes like this again. General Hospital has some spinoffs. What was the first of these spinoffs shows?
They asked specifically for the first. All right, we'll give you a half point for getting one of them. Though.
Yeah, half point. Half point. It's not bad.
Okay, half point. Because I knew one. I was on one. I was on Port Charles. That's the only reason I know that, just so you know.
Oh, all right.
I think you should get a quarter point for being on the show, too.
I think this is...
See, I love how you score this.
It's perfect. Pretty good. And by the way, I think that's why Hammond gave
us... Just the rules, ma'am.
Speaking of other shows made in 1963. All right, here's your next question. Between 1981 and 1983, who was Heather Weber's roommate?
I don't watch the show.
I don't even know who Heather Weber is. I assume it's a character. All right, the answer... Oh, I got to hit this. The answer is Sarah Abbott. Sarah Abbott.
Yeah.
Never heard of her.
Yeah.
Tom, anything? We're good? Keep going? Okay. Next one. Who took over as executive producer in 2012?
I need to be like on Google so I can cheat right now for this. I do not know. I don't even know who was the original executive producer.
I don't either.
I don't know.
Just give us a name. Anything you want. Any name.
Steve Reichenberg.
Incorrect. Close though. It's Frank Valinetti.
He says he produces stuff.
Yeah, that's
Frank?
True.
Okay.
Yeah, Frank Valinetti is the correct name. Final question.
Although, full point for being one of the few contestants to honestly admit that they really would like to search these on Google.
Yeah, because no one ever admits to it. So well done. Final question. Who originally created General Hospital? And I'll give you a hint. It was a married couple. And it is such a 1963 name for a married couple. But anyway.
Who is it?
It is Frank and Doris Hursley. They sound like the Beavers
Olivia
neighbors.
Olivia answered correctly. She had no idea. That is correct.
So that is true. I did have no idea. That is correct.
All right. Well, as you can see, sometimes it goes in your favor. All right, Steve.
Frank and Dora Hursley? Is that what it was?
Frank and Doris. Doris Hursley.
Doris.
Yeah.
Doris.
Lived on Privet Lane. All right. Steve, here is your... not Dursley. All right, anyway. Steve, here are yours. It is very different than that. It is RoboCop trivia, all right?
Uh-oh.
RoboCop is your topic.
Although, they're not so different when you really think about it.
Yeah. very similar in tone. Here's your first question. What year did the original RoboCop... or not what year did it come out in. What year was it set in?
Oh. 2021.
Let's find out if that answer is correct. Nope. 2043 is the correct answer. They sure had a lot of Ford Tauruses for 2043.
Yeah. So 0.01.
Yeah.
For the year differential.
A lot of black painted Ford Tauruses. All right. Next up. who played Murphy slash RoboCop's partner, Lewis. I would have known this one. I have pretty good RoboCop trivia.
Oh, isn't that nice for you,
yeah,
Scott?
Yeah, it's worked out
right in front of you.
It's worked out really well for me.
I don't know. I grew up in the 90s, so don't look at me.
You're a 90s kid. That's all right. I'll give you. Do you have a guess? No guesses?
Having the faintest.
Nancy Allen.
No, actually, he answered correctly. He hadn't the faintest.
Just one small question. Did Hammond just whole cloth make up RoboCop as your topic, or did you say to him, I like RoboCop? How did it go?
What do you think?
I have a feeling he just sprung it on us. All right, that's funny. Here's the next one. This makes it even better. What are RoboCop's three primary objectives?
Oh.
I'll even do it in his voice if you don't get it right.
Uphold the law.
Yeah.
Protect the innocent.
Uh-huh. Third thing.
Something else. I don't know.
Oh, he's so close, Tom. So close. You did it in a different order, but that doesn't matter. So it's uphold the law, protect the innocent, and finally serve the public trust.
Right.
I don't know.
So 2/3 of a point there.
Yeah, I'd say he's got to get something for that. That was really good. Miguel Ferrer plays a character that wants to create RoboCop. What character does he play?
It's right there in the question.
These are so not fair, man. They're so not fair. At least Olivia was in a General Hospital related show for a while. She had that. But poor Steve would just throw RoboCop.
I don't think Steve ever produced audio for RoboCop. I'm guessing.
No. Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. The answer. Oh, let me hit the thing. The answer is Bob Morton. I don't know who he was. Yeah, he's the character. I do know who Miguel Ferrer is.
Boost to level 90, Bob Morton.
There you go. Morton Salt fame. Here's your final question. What year was the film RoboCop released? This would be the original film, not the remake.
1987.
Oh, my goodness. We have the first ding of the day. You absolutely
ding
nailed that.
Ding of the day.
Yep, 1987 is correct. My mom would not let me have it in the house. She would not allow that. Is my memory of that. All right, Tom, we have our scores. We have our answers. How did they do?
Virtual tie here, folks. Olivia with 2.85, Steve with 2.68. Congratulations, both.
Well done, you guys. We never had one quite this close. That was super impressive. Well done. Tom, of course, your scoring, as always, is impeccable. It's time to
just
predict.
Just follow the rule book, Scott.
Let's predict the future.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
Okay, one of the things we do on this show is try to predict the future. We do it in a little segment we call Forecast. Back in the day, Tom and I had a show called Forecast where that's all it was predicting the future. We do it in the areas of technology, of entertainment, whatever. And today I picked one, and I'd like to get everyone's thoughts on this. I think it's time for all the old 80s sitcoms and dramas, basically 80s television, no matter what those are, to get remade into movies or new TV series. First up on my list, Cheers is ready for a remake, except no live audience. They do it like Arrested Development style comedy, where it's just a lot of, character stuff, and it's funny, but you don't need a bunch of fake laughter for it, right? So that's one, number one. Drama, I think MASH needs to be remade. And I'm not saying it's because MASH is no good. Obviously, these are classic shows, and they're wonderful, and people are going to complain this happens, but personally, I think MASH is the kind of thing that you could do now, maybe base it on Vietnam, since the original MASH was kind of doing that anyway, because it was airing during the end of Vietnam's era, and it was kind of speaking to the issues of the day.
Yeah, they were using the Korean War so they could get around criticism of criticizing the Vietnam War.
Exactly. So what you could do with this is you could do a similar sort of subversive thing a little bit. You could do it about, say, Vietnam, which has a lot of built-in, stuff that you could have conversation about thematically, but then have a lot of today's issues reflected in that, whether it be about the modern military complex or terrorism or other things like that. You could kind of insert those in the same way they were doing that with Vietnam and other conflicts. Go ahead.
Or it wouldn't have to necessarily be any specific historical war. It could just be some ambiguous, war going on.
Yeah, they could make
present day.
Absolutely, they could. It could be totally present day. Even better, put it in space. Doesn't matter to me. I'll take whatever they got.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe
space
not quite.
Mash.
Maybe
I
not
totally
Space
want
Mash.
To see that. Now.
I would watch Space Mash in a heartbeat.
Wow.
incoming wounded, get to moon base 3. But my thing is that I just feel like it's now time to regurgle all that stuff. And I've decided to embrace that from now on, because it's always this thing people complain about. Quit taking things from my childhood and ruining them by making them new again. I'm off that wagon. I'm like, nope, they were great for a reason. Let's bring them to a new generation. Mm-hmm. Let's have them for a new age. Let the old stuff stand for what it was, but let's do something new. And I think a hard-hitting MASH drama would be really cool. If they have to still call it MASH, maybe that's still the Korean War. I don't know. But whatever. Then you start seeing things like, you know, silver spoons and different strokes, but do those in totally different ways and have them deal with, like, actual issues of adoption and that sort of thing instead of what it was then. Like, improve these things with modern-day takes. Now, I can hear people at home going, Scott, you're crazy. This is all going to suck. But I think it can be done. Look at Battlestar Galactica. That's a late 70s, early 80s show that had no right to be as good as that remake was. And everything about that was amazing.
Look at the Starsky and Hutch movie. Oh, wait, don't.
No, don't look at that. Don't look at that. I'm a big fan of the Beverly Hillbillies movie, but I know I'm alone, so I won't try to push my agenda here.
All right, fair enough. And to be honest, the Starsky and Hutch movie was a comedy. That was my only quibble with it. I loved the show as a kid, so I didn't want to see it turn into a comedy, but some people thought it was pretty funny, so there you go.
Yeah, I like the Miami Vice remake. I like things like that. Yes, Olivia?
I think that a comedy would be harder to remake than a drama. Like, I agree with the MASH and even with the Battlestar Galactica, but I feel like with Cheers or with the other comedies, I don't know. I feel like you can make a new one. I don't know. I don't know if you could come back in. I don't know. I don't know why I feel that way. I feel like a comedy would be harder to remake successfully than a drama.
I think because some of the things that make things funny are very era dependent. I think.
Yes. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so just different sensibilities as far as what we like and find funny.
I just think that there's nothing on, I mean, I guess maybe what I miss is, maybe this is just a thing about MASH for me, or not MASH, a thing about Cheers, because I used to like it when a sitcom or a show, and a lot of people copied the Cheers formula back in the day, but creating your comedy around a bed and breakfast that you run, like the Newhart Show, or Wings was all about a tiny airport. In the middle of New England, Cheers was this central meeting place for all these kind of weird characters. It was all come and they would you know come to a place where everybody knew your name, to paraphrase from the opening song.
And is there nobody, like, even on YouTube doing a co-working space comedy? Because that is the current, like, techie culture equivalent to this.
Yeah, sure. Or the .com open workspace startup scene.
Yeah, where who's doing that?
Silicon Valley is kind of that, because it all takes place in what's-his-face's house, which he calls an incubator.
Right, that's true. I just like the idea of the place being a bit of a character. And Star Trek is great because the Enterprise is a character. You know, in a lot of ways, the Galactica was the character in Battlestar Galactica. Like, it's an important place where everything else pivots out. And there's not a lot of that anymore. The Korean War was a great place to have this story for MASH. Other shows like that. I want to have more like that. Right now, it's just kind of scatterbrained, especially comedies. They're fine. There's plenty of funny stuff on TV. Maybe it works really well for Veep, for example, on HBO, because the character is the government and the periphery is all the actors working around it. And they make real, you know, funny things, but still there's this central point that's never going to change. That show's not going to suddenly switch to building a log cabin in Wyoming or something. I know that's a weird thing to say, but you know what I mean? Like, you can't just pull her out of there and say, just like after MASH, they yanked all those poor actors out, put them back in the States and said, here, make another show. And it was terrible. It was really bad. And it's because you can't take that one character away. The worst Star Trek series in terms of performance, not necessarily how well they were made, were the ones that dipped in ratings, were the ones that didn't have a big ship, usually called the Enterprise, to carry things along. So maybe that's what I'm arguing for now that I think about it. I'm analyzing myself here, but yeah. So there you go. Tom,
and like you said, for as far as updating it for a new generation, you know, people like me, some don't have the nostalgic connection to some of these. So when people say, oh, you're ruining my childhood. Well, you're not ruining my childhood.
Yeah, we got to make Drake and Josh remakes for you to get yours ruined, right? I mean, what was the big thing when you were growing up? What was your 90s? What hooked you in when you were growing up? Did you guys have anything, or were you disenfranchised?
I mean, it's weird with the new movie coming out, but one of the biggest things that I remember was Power Rangers at that time.
Oh, early days.
And there you go. And it's turned into a movie.
And so. I saw the trailer the other night, and I'm going to say something slightly controversial. That doesn't look like total crap. It looks pretty good.
I think that's going to be one of those no middle ground movies.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I walked out of it a little bit excited, though. Like, I kind of walked out going, all right, I see what you're doing here. I like the tone of this. I like this whole we discovered powers thing. I don't remember what the origin of the actual Power Rangers were. Maybe they're adhering to that. Maybe they're not. But the fact that what's his name's going to be in it, Bryan Cranston's going to be in it because it was the first show that ever gave him a break. So he offered to be the villain in this. So he's in this. I'm weirdly excited for your retro 90s movie. So good luck with that.
I want to see Cheers done as not a comedy, as a drama.
All right. Just
like bunch of like the real Cheers. So it's a bunch of alcoholics in a dark bar with no lives.
Bar owner just trying to squeeze by and keep the business open.
That sounds all right. Although I don't know about you guys.
In quotes.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Where everybody wants to kick you out. Like that. That'd be the song. Something like that.
No, you use the exact same song.
Oh, all right.
Just makes it all.
Oh, it'd be like discordant.
Ironic.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be ironic. Yeah.
Oh, I like that a lot.
It's singing, like the dark Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Or the singing happy birthday while people are dying in, Walking Dead or something. I love that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, there's our prediction. Let's see if it comes true, everyone. Hey, I got an email here. We get these at currentgeek@gmail.com, and somebody named XBronze1X, it's a very strange name, says, hey, guys, lots of new movie trailers out this week. Any of them jump out as the ones you want to see the most? Mm-hmm. For me, it's Valerian and maybe Ghost in the Shell. That one's jury's out. But Valerian from Luc Besson and his first foray into science fiction since Fifth Element is very exciting to me, and it looks rad, and it might be total crap, but I don't care. I'm all in on whatever that thing's going to be. You guys see anything you liked? I'm trying to think.
I'll second you on Ghost in the Shell for sure.
Yeah.
In fact, that scene where they have Scarlett Johansson with her knees up in front of a window, I immediately was like, gone to the internet, grabbing the same scene from Lost in Translation and being like, here you go, mashup, Ghost in the Shell, Lost in the Shell,
nice.
Ghost in Translation, go.
Ghost in Translation is actually kind of brilliant. That's a good idea. Now everyone knows, Tom, and they're going to do it before you have a chance, so we're screwed.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it well. Take it, internet, run.
Yeah, take
fly,
it.
Fly, be free.
Any, you guys see anything that's like jumped out at you trailer-wise that you want to recommend to Bronze1X here?
Ghost in the Shell is the one that comes to mind. I'm just hoping that if it's actually good, that all the haters don't drive everyone away from seeing it.
Mm. Yeah, good point. Olivia, you got anything on the horizon you're interested in?
I haven't been keeping up on my movie trailers, so I don't know. But now I'm going to go check out this Ghost in the Shell, so don't worry.
Yeah, it'll be good. We got Star Wars and
Less. When's
Star Wars? Yeah, Tom, like 3 weeks till Star Wars? A month till Star Wars? Rogue One? How long? Something like that.
Pretty soon.
December 16th.
There it is. So it's like, it's like less than a month. That's crazy. We're getting another Star Wars movie in less than a month. So I can't wait for that. That's going to be great. If you haven't seen the Valerian trailer, I recommend everybody check it out. Definitely hints of Fifth Element.
Go to Movie Clips, the YouTube channel Movie Clips, and check it out. You should know that starting Monday, my wife works for Fandango, who owns Movie Clips.
Oh, that's happening Monday.
Hi.
Congratulations. I'm super stoked about that. Yeah, I mean, I heard rumblings, but it's official. That's great. We've just made it public, everybody. You probably already have. You didn't do it.
I threw it out in a comment the other day when I was saying I'm no longer going to be disclosing that my wife works at YouTube all the time because she won't as of Monday.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. One last question before I forget because it just popped into my head. Olivia, who is your number one inspiration for the character you're playing in your web series? Who would you look at and go, yes, it's that Salt movie with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, I would say that Angie, she's definitely an inspiration, but she's so much cooler than I am. Like, so much cooler than this character. Like, this character, she's super competent, but we're corny. We're just not very serious on this show, so.
The world could use more of that. I think that's fun.
Well, as you could tell, we here at Current Geek have no idea what that's like.
Yeah, we don't know what it's like to be
corny.
We're
totally straight shooting.
Yeah. So I do, like, I would love, like, if Angie was like, she's obviously, she's the female, you know, but
she's pretty great.
Yeah, we're just too corny for that. So yeah. I don't know. I just try to pull off sassy and sexy and corny all at the same time.
That sounds good. That's how I like my Saturday night movie watching. So let's hope this goes to the big screen next. And next time we have you on the show, it'll be, Oscar time or something for you on there.
Yeah. From your lips to God's ears.
That's right. I hope he's listening. That's going to do it, everybody. Big thanks for the email. Again, currentgeek@gmail.com. Thank you, Bronze1, for sending that in. And if you guys have thoughts, feelings, questions, whatever you want to share with us, you're certainly encouraged to use that. Before we get out of here, one more time, let's remind people where to go. Olivia, they just need to go search for this series. It's Sandra West Diaries. And again, it's everywhere that you need to be, including YouTube, which seems to be the place to be. Are you excited about the schedule coming up where you got to film 10 of these and do the whole production thing?
Honestly, the schedule is so easy. We work like one or two, maybe 3 days on an episode. It's very light. It's really my favorite shooting format because there's not all the waiting that you do on other sets, you know, where everything's perfect and the lighting and this and the other. We're very guerrilla style shooting with this. And so we're very immediate. We get it done. We get the action. We choreograph it right there. We do the fights. It's really fun. So yeah, it's not too much work, and it's all people that I like to work with. So
first takes the best take. I always say,
yeah. It's a great gig.
That's why I don't edit this podcast either. Just want to take it and go.
Oh, you just wait. When we wrap this up here in a few minutes, take two.
Yeah, that's right.
Whole show again.
Hope you guys have got another hour. Steve, remind people once again where they can find your fine work, sir.
Geekcred.net if you're interested in those interviews when I get that going again in the near future. And if you maybe need an audio engineer or a podcast producer, get in touch with me, steverickyberg.com.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about him. So I will vouch for you. Tom will. And even Olivia will. All of us will.
I will.
Current Geek officially endorses Steve as your next podcast producer. Tom, well done. Tom Merritt, anything to add before we go?
Just a reminder, folks, Daily Tech News Show, as we mentioned, is Monday through Friday. Scott's on Wednesdays. And if you're looking for something shorter, just need to catch up with 5-6 minutes of the headlines from technology news, check out Daily Tech Headlines at dailytechheadlines.com. You can even add it as a flash briefing on Amazon Echo.
Very nice. The only thing I would add before we go is if you like video games, you like World of Warcraft, and you like Chris Metzen, who recently retired from the company in September, you might very much like to listen to the interview I did with him, which he says will be his only post-retirement interview about any of this sort of stuff.
Picked up everywhere.
I got picked up like crazy. It's the most viral thing I've ever done. But he was super, super cool to talk to. Just got really real and raw on that show and put himself out in a way that I think was not only brave, but also really helped a lot of people. It was a very interesting conversation. So if you are interested in that at all, you can find it on the Instance feed over at theinstance.net. It is our second to last episode that you'll find on that feed, and I highly recommend it. If you haven't already heard about it somewhere else, check it out there. I think it's going to do it for us. Big thanks to everybody. Andrew Allen did our theme music. He always does our theme music. It's always good. Currentgeek.com for all the links and details, including our Twitter accounts, our phone number, all that stuff is there. Currentgeek.com. It's going to do it for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.